coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. I am your host, Coach Steve. With me today, guys, is the entire crew. We're back together once again. No guests today, guys. It's just the three of us talking fantasy. Of course, let's get started. Coach Jibs, welcome to the show, brother.
What up, man?
How's everything going, man?
Everything's good, man. I'm just gearing up for this upcoming weekend that we have. And other than that, getting some draft slots going in some of my redraft leagues. So starting to get the ball moving on that. So with your help, I picked number 5. Instead of 9, so hopefully I get some good luck going there, but I'm hyped for redraft season.
I love it. And Coach John, brother, what's going on?
Nothing much. Big weekend. We had to set our keepers in the FTLS, so I was doing a ton of research, figuring out which keepers I was going to have and who was going on the rookie development tag, all this fun stuff. So I had a big weekend of fantasy football in my major home league. So I'm with Jibs. I'm getting geared up for the season, geared up for redraft, all these charity leagues I'm starting to get invited to. So it's palpable. The feeling of football is there. It's coming.
Yes. It's very hard to say no to a charity league because it's just for a good cause. So it's very fun to do. So, but a quick plug in real quick. But if you guys haven't been following us over on Twitter, we are doing our charity leagues this year. They're called the Secret Play that I named. Signups are still going on over the next 2 weeks. August 5th is the last day to do so. So please sign up. Everyone had a lot of fun last year doing it. It seemed to draw a lot of fun crowds. So please go over to our website, www.thefantasycoaches.com, or check it out on our Twitter page at Coaches Fantasy. So we would appreciate you joining in and signing up for a great cause. So let's get into the action today, guys. We are talking player comps. So basically going through players of last year and who they could be for 2022. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to also talk about a little, dynasty buy low. We're going to talk about one of the toughest players to pick for this redraft season. But before we get into all that, of course, we got to talk about the fantasy news because we actually have some interesting news we got to talk about, guys. All right. So, of course, I have my slideshows, and it starts off here at the top. Kyler Murray agrees to a nice 5-year, $130.5 million extension with the Arizona Cardinals. Yes, Jibs, man made his money. In terms of dynasty right now, because, I mean, we know that Kyle Murray is a top-tier player. Does he jump back into – maybe he wasn't. Is he in that top five quarterback conversation with this nice new deal?
Top five is tough. I think that's probably a stretch. But he's, I mean, it's nice. It's you feel comfortable knowing the future for Kyler Murray. He's not going to go anywhere. There's going to be no, ill will with the franchise. So it just solidifies where you have him ranked. I think I have him just outside my top five. I think top five is a bit of a stretch. But, we know how dynamic he is on the ground, and we know that, getting Hollywood Brown back is a deep threat. So it could happen. He could easily, have himself a big MVP type year like he did at the beginning of last season and crack that top five, but I think he's still just a little outside of it.
And I would agree as well. He's definitely locked in the top seven, in my opinion. So for the upcoming years, it's not just this year. If he does put the team on his back and performs without D-Hop and gets all the young pieces and Marquise Brown involved and has more than 4,000 yards passing, if he could do that for a first time in the season and don't get injured, hey, I think it's all for him to be the top quarterback. But there's a lot of ifs in that scenario. So for those circumstances, he can't be top five for me. But Kyler Murray, he's definitely a good option, and he's pretty much the best passing running quarterback that we have, I would say. So.
And the reason I ask is apparently I did put him in my top five today in Dynasty. And it's strictly just because the contract for me does take somewhat of an effect. I know anything can happen, injuries, whatever could happen. But knowing that he is locked in Arizona for the next 5 years with a pretty good team around him. It just bumped him for Lamar Jackson. So Lamar Jackson sits at 6 now. Kyle Murray is now at number 5 with that contract. Let's see. Josh Rosen added to the Browns depth chart. You know, obviously we don't know what's going on with Watson still. So obviously they wanted to bring in some more talent around him. Kyle Rudolph signs with the Bucks. Does this intrigue you guys at all for this redraft season? Or are we just saying he's probably going to be a streaming tight end at best and we're not really going to worry about this too much?
I'll see you week one on waivers.
Yeah, I think that's just such a, you know, muddy situation with Cade Otton, Kyle Rudolph, Cameron Brate. I just, you know, I don't think anyone's just going to walk into this Robert Gronkowski role that we're all expecting. I think it's just going to be a mishmash of a bunch of people, which is just going to suck for fantasy. I mean, good for Kyle Rudolph, good for the Bucks. I think Kyle Rudolph is a good player, but for fantasy, I'm not running to my waivers to go try and grab him.
Right. And I think the way I see it is that, I mean, there's a report that he's going to get the bulk of the Gronk work, but I don't know, Cameron Brate's still there. I'm not trusting Kyle Rudolph, who hasn't really been relevant over the last 3 years, to be honest. I mean, he might. I think it's really when it comes to these tight ends at this point is it's touchdown dependencies. So if you're going to go after one of these guys, it's likely a streaming tight end situation where you're hoping for them to score a touchdown. I don't think either one at this point now will have an opportunity to be, you know, a 5 for 50 each and every single week. Now you're hoping for that touchdown to fall for him or Cameron Brate. So. Mm-hmm. All right, Kyle Shanny, determined to do a RB committee. Now, him saying this, does this completely turn you off of going after any 49er running back at this point?
I was never turned on in the first place. Like, that's not even a statement. Like, he does a running back committee. It's just like, we can always just get fooled. That's what I'm saying. But like, I'm definitely Elijah Mitchell. Like, I guess it kind of starts like that RB dead zone early for me in that area in that effect. So like, I don't really want nothing to do with him. If he's going to say he's going to do running back committee, he's gotten like what, 3 third rounders the last couple of years. And we're running with the 6th round pick. So like Elijah Mitchell, he's a fantastic player and I'm sure they're going to run until the wheels falls off. But like for season long, I just don't see it's being sustainable at his current draft capital.
And I agree. And this has been my problem with Elijah Mitchell. My difference with Elijah Mitchell in redraft and Elijah Mitchell in dynasty. It's like, I know San Francisco is never going to commit to one guy moving forward, sign him to some contract. It's always going to be this rotation of people. So Kyle Shanahan coming out and saying he's a running back by committees doesn't surprise me. I just think Elijah Mitchell will. So if it depresses his ADP for redraft, then yeah, maybe I'm into it because, you know, I still think 60, 70% of the work for Elijah Mitchell is going to be great for fantasy because this is such a, you know, dynamic run game and run scheme that I think he can do well. It's the injuries. It's really the injuries. The running back by committee comment doesn't scare me. It's, you know, can Elijah Mitchell hold up with 60% of the work, 65% of the work? Because, you know, last year he got dinged up every other week, it felt like. So it's just an interesting, you know, that people are really taking it to heart. And, you know, if you want to throw late picks at Tyron David Price and, you know, some of these other guys, I think the ship has sailed with Trey Sermon, but maybe, and then Jeff Wilson's another one. Look, taking late dart throws, you have no idea. Elijah Mitchell came out of nowhere. And so maybe, you know, it is Tyron David Price and we're all sitting here with egg on our face, but it's going to be yucky. I told everyone try and move Elijah Mitchell in dynasty last year while he was hot. I think your window is closing on what you can really get for Elijah Mitchell right now.
Oh, for sure. For sure. At this point, if you're taking any 49er running back, you're waiting until at least the double digits. Cause I think at that point you're getting the value because at some point someone is going to go off for an RB1 performance 1 week or two here or there, but anything before round 10, you probably shouldn't touch a 49ers running back, especially with this comment, even more makes it more of a sticky situation. Over to the next one, this is kind of sad. John Michi, the Houston Texan wide receiver, rookie, diagnosed with leukemia over the weekend here. Definitely sucks to hear that. It's supposedly the most treatable of the leukemia, which is great news, but I hope he has a nice, speedy recovery. of course, there's really no fantasy impact to it just because no one outside of Houston really is going to take what he was possibly going to give us this season, but definitely a heartbreak for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Next, James Robinson. Does it start off on the pump list? Now, we know we're not all doctors here, but you know, we know that James Robinson coming off a torn Achilles. Does this give you guys any sign of hope that this is a good thing that he might be ready for week one? Of course, he could be put on and still, but we saw a lot of players go on it. We'll talk back in a second. Does this give you any vote of confidence?
I think it's crazy. I think it's interesting. I was just talking about this yesterday with a buddy of mine. I think it's really amazing how fast some of these players are coming back from injuries, especially injuries that we would consider 4 or 5 years ago career ending. You know, if someone tears an Achilles 5 years ago, forget it. They're done in the NFL. You know, the fact that James Robinson doesn't start off on the pup and that he's coming back and there's a chance that he might be healthy, it's like just amazing that it was like 7-8 months ago that he tore his Achilles. And so I think it's more just impressive to James Robinson, impressive to modern medicine, and we maybe need to start adjusting our timelines on injuries. And if he does come out week one and, you know, and he's relatively healthy and he gets touches, that's just amazing. I think it sucks for fantasy. I think it's, you know, you don't want to see this either for either player, because it's just now you're getting half the work in a what should be a bottom half offense. So it sucks if he comes into the fold and muddies up that backfield, but it's a good sign for James Robinson that he doesn't hit the pup right away. And it kind of tempers my love for, I know I've been hyping up ETN the past couple weeks. This really throws a wet blanket on all my ETN love, for sure. Yeah, I mean, good for the player. Good for the player, tough for fantasy. I still wouldn't trust, you know, 7 month Achilles injury. You know, players tend to really not look like themselves when they're back. We saw it with Cam Akers. They lose that explosiveness. I think there is going to be a little bit of a ramp up until we see James Robinson play the way he can. So I'm still not drafting him in redraft or dynasty or, you know, any sort of like dynasty startup with any confidence or anything like that. But, you know, it's amazing that he's missed the pup, because he was one that I pinned for sure missing a big chunk of the season.
Mm-hmm. There's a little optimism with me, but like, I'm going to go with modern science at the end of the day. Like, we've been waiting for, even though Saquon Barkley didn't have an Achilles injury, but we've been waiting like 2 years. He's always been coming back right on time, but still waiting. This is his first year. He's felt comfortable. We saw Cam Akers, like John stated before. So like, even if he does make week one, like, I wouldn't be nowhere confident of throwing him in my lineup first and foremost. And like, I guess you can make like a DraftKings special about it, but other than that, like, it's a little too close in the timeline for me. But like, it's good that he doesn't start it, but like you said, Steve, he could still get back on it. So like, I wouldn't be surprised week one comes and they're like, oh, can't come back to week six.
Yeah, no, I mean, hopefully this, if anything, pushes down Travis Etienne at some point. I mean, we'll find out soon enough if James Robinson's going to be on that pump list for the first duration of the season. So it's a nice hopefulness, but we'll see. And again, we had other people go on the pump list to actually go on the actual pump list. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, David Bell, Robert Tonyan, Christian Watson, James White, Michael Thomas, C.J. Uzama, Justin Ross from the Chiefs went on there, but then he went on the IR. He is out for the season. So again, we'll see. They said people can come off the pump any day. So mm-hmm. I don't want to go too much into this. So we'll, if they end up being on there by mid-August, we'll have to talk more about it. So let's get into the first part of our segment for the day. And that is the toughest fantasy player to draft. So Coach John, I'll let you go first. Who is the toughest guy right now you're either rating or you just have an issue of drafting or just don't know what to do with?
Oh, this one was so difficult because there's a few players that I really this year are just question marks for me. And I'm having trouble ranking them, having trouble projecting their, you know, their season, all that. But the one name that I keep coming back to, and I have trouble because there is so much variance in what he can be and what might happen, and that's Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett to me is the toughest fantasy player to try and predict. It's like, yeah, he's been consistent the past 3-4 years. He does certain things really well. He's a great route runner. He's quick. He's an awesome deep threat. All these things that you love to see. But you have to ask yourself, is like, was that the connection with Russell Wilson or is that Tyler Lockett as the player? And it's like, I don't know. And you won't know until you get to week five of this year. And we could all be sitting here saying, man, Tyler Lockett again is a top 20. You know, is he the new Brandon Cooks? He's just going to be a top 24 guy year in, year out, because that's just who he is. Or is the wheels really going to fall off in this offense and he sucks and they're barely taking deep shots because Drew Lock doesn't know how to throw a deep ball and Geno Smith can't throw a deep ball. So, you know, it's just going to be an interesting outlook. I think there's a huge variance. He could be, you know, wide receiver 16, 17 again, like he always is, or he could be wide receiver 45. And so that's the one that I'm having the most trouble with is Tyler Lockett. It's just, it's tough. And you know, it's, every time I'm on the clock and I'm sitting there looking at Tyler Lockett, I'm just like, I can't pull that trigger. I can't do it. I don't have the confidence. I don't have the gusto. So for me, it's my man. And I love Tyler Lockett. I really do. I always liked him, but I'm having trouble this year.
Yeah, no, that's definitely interesting for sure, because, you know, can he have that talent without Russell Wilson? You know, has Russell Wilson always been that elite talent that we've seen in the passing game consistently, or can Tyler Lockett do something past that? So I definitely like that there, John. Coach Gibbs, who's your toughest fantasy player?
My guy is Kyle Pitts, and I'm sure he's going to lead his team in production. He had 102 targets last year, and he probably will get more because there's going to be no Ridley, lost Gage, and there's a lot of pieces going in and out in the offense. So with the quarterback, though. So with the quarterbacks tandem or whatever they want to do down there in Atlanta, I have no confidence that like Pitts is going to be getting it done as a top 40 player. Like think of it, like I could get me a wide receiver too. That's going to get me 12 half PPR fantasy points. And like, I'm going to be concerned picking Kyle Pitts with pick 36, say for instance. And like, I'm going to be like praying to Jesus, like if he gets 10.5 half PPR fantasy points, like he could be, his range could go up and down. Sure, he could have those blow up games, but like I think you're better off just going with the surefire wide receivers in round 3-4 area and staying away from tight ends. Like we've been talking about it the last couple of guests, man, like they've been saying, hey, these tight ends, man, you get the top two, you could fiddle around with 3, 4, and 5. I've been doing that the last couple of years and I get goose egg every time. So like Kelsey, Andrews, guys, but other than that, like, just fit it where it works. So let someone else get Kyle Pitts on their team, because, like, I'm telling you, when Desmond Ridder comes in, what's going to be like his ceiling just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. But, like, with Mariota, I think he may have a good floor, but I don't think it's, like, a high floor that it's going to be reliable on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that Falcons offense is really hard to give them a real projection of what they're going to do this season. So that's another great one there, Jibs.
It's disgusting to try and predict Atlanta's offense. It's gross.
It's very tough. Very, very tough. So to my toughest player, guys, I actually just made a switch during the your guys' conversation. And I was going to do Cam Akers, but I'm going over to Tyreek Hill, my Dolphin now. And to me, that's just – he is so difficult for me to rank because I don't know if should he still be in the top 10 or should he be in the closer to 20 at this point now. It's just we just don't know what we're supposed to expect out of Tyreek Hill. Now, you pay him the big money to come to Miami. He's got that big contract. Is he going to see just a buttload of targets, or is those targets just not going to be good enough for him to really put up that high production? Like, are we seeing like 7 for 60 most weeks, or we're going to see the 5 for 150 in a touchdown or two? Like, what are we going to see out of him? Like, just the way this offense is coming together, like I said, there's a lot of hope, obviously, as a Dolphins fan, just in general sense, but as a fantasy owner fan, I don't like seeing him fall in round three. It's like, oh my God, like, really? Like, that's insane. But in the same, because it's his name value, it just sounds so good. But then you're thinking about it, it's like, he's playing for the Dolphins now. We just don't know what Tua is going to show us. So for me, I think right now, Tyreek Hill is, I don't know if I'm personally avoiding him, but like, is, I just don't know if I should consider him a top 10 wide receiver or a top 20 wide receiver at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's my toughest guy.
Hey, you hit it on the head on that one.
It is, man. It's tough. It's tough. So, but that is going to be our toughest fantasy player segment there. I wanted to get that in because we didn't have enough shows to actually do a show on just the toughest player. So I wanted to throw that into the mix real quick. So let's get over to the main segment of the day. Last year's fantasy comps. And the first one is the Cooper Kupp. So basically, you know, it could be a mid-range, whatever kind of wide receiver that isn't going that high, but can kind of just blow up and be someone that's amazing. Maybe not obviously what Cooper Kupp did last year, but to that our wide receiver one level. So, Jed, I'm going to let you go first on this one. Who do you got?
Oh, man, I'm going with Darnell Mooney. You're getting this guy in mid 55, 56 pick. Like, you're getting him before the round five ends. And that was kind of the range. Like, I think Cooper Kupp went earlier. I think they're on the round 4 or 5 swing in most leagues last year. And that's kind of the same area that you're going to get Darnell Mooney in. And, guys, like, I know Justin Fields and the Bears are probably going to be, like, they're probably going to be a lower-tier passing offense in the NFL. But sure the hell, there's going to be a ton of volume for Darnell Mooney to dominate, especially with the given lack of wide receivers that are on that roster. I know they just kind of traded for N'Keal Harry, but I'm not really, like, into that guy. He has to learn the playbook and all that good stuff. So I think Darnell Mooney has a chance to shine. Like, I think he's going to beat his ADP through the window or as a wide receiver.
Yeah, I like that one there a lot. Derek, the good old boys, thanks, buddy. Thanks for the comment there. Love that. But yeah, Jib, that makes a lot of sense there. I mean, he just fits in that upside that he's going to provide, especially with seeing hopefully abundance of targets this coming season here. So I like that one there. I do.
Is that still yours, John?
No, you didn't. That's a great one, though. I had a short list, and Mooney was on my short list of names to bring up. But no, you didn't take it. That's a great one because I do think he is just going to be a target hog. I mean, there's not a world where I can't project him for more than 120 targets, which, you know, at his ADP, he gets 120 targets. Say he makes that 90 receptions. He's going to break that ADP at that point. Like, it's going to be insane. So he, to me, is that's a good name to bring up. The problem is, you know, he won't be on an offense that's as productive as the Rams offense was last year. So I don't know if the touchdowns will be there, but it's certainly there's no reason why he won't lead his team in targets and yardage and all these and take that jump to break that ADP. I like it.
Hey, CFC too. Let's go. Love it. All right, Coach John, who's your Cooper Kupp comp?
So the Cooper Kupp comp, I kind of did. I went a whole bunch of ways thinking about this. So I tried to think of someone who is in the same, because Cooper Kupp last year was about wide receiver 21. So I was trying to find someone in that range, that wide receiver 20 to 24 range. I was trying to find someone who is getting drafted, but after, because here's a fun fact, Cooper Kupp was getting drafted after Robert Woods. So I'm trying to think of someone who is getting drafted either at or behind their counterpart. And I'm also trying to think of someone who got a huge quarterback upgrade because they went from Jared Goff to Matt Stafford last year. So the name that to me just fits the comp the best is Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton to me gets a huge quarterback upgrade. He's going as wide receiver 21 right now. People are kind of, he's right in the ballpark. People don't know, is it going to be Courtland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy or this or that. They have, it goes back and forth. It's a coin flip on who you're going to take first. I am making my bed with Courtland Sutton. I think he's, you know, the true alpha in that 1A, 1B, you know, role. He is the alpha. He is the 1A. He's going to be the DK Metcalf. He's going to see all those targets. He's going to see the volume. He's going to be in the red zone. And he also is explosive and has big playability. So don't count him out there either. I like Courtland Sutton to really outproduce his wide receiver 21 ADP. And that offense, if Russell Wilson steps in and does what we are all predicting he can do, that offense should be a top, you know, 10, top 5 offense, and the touchdowns could be plentiful for Courtland Sutton. So, you know, if he all of a sudden hits double digit touchdowns and we have 1,400, 1,300 yards, that's a massive jump up from where he's getting drafted. So I don't know if anyone will really do this, you know, historic season like Cooper Kupp had, but I think that someone who could outperform their ADP in a good situation, a similar situation to Cooper Kupp, is Courtland Sutton.
No, that one. I think Courtland Sutton is like the poster child of like the like Cooper Kupp comp of this year. Everything just fits. He's been a productive wide receiver, new quarterback, strong passing offense. It just fits so well to have Courtland Sutton there in this comp right there for this season. So mine, guys, I went with Mike Williams on this one here, and the same could be said that, you know, Keenan Allen could be the first wide receiver for most of this backfield, this core to take. And the thing with Mike Williams, sorry about that, Mike Williams, is that he's going in that round 5-6 range. I've seen him go lower. Some people might take him early. I feel like that's kind of what was Cooper Kupp last year. Like, sometimes I saw him maybe once in a while go early, but sometimes he kind of fell, or he fell in that 5-6 range. So, I mean, the sky could be the limit for Mike Williams this year. I mean, he showed that he could be the top three fantasy wide receiver last year. First half of the season, he was wide receiver 3 the first 9 games. And then he was wide receiver 30 after that. If there's a way for him to put it all together, given another year of chemistry with Herbert, that the fact that their division is so going to be nuts this year, that it's going to be flying the ball every which direction. And if he can just stay healthy, I mean, I think we talked about Cooper Kupp early on in his career, kind of not being able to stay fully healthy, would get banged up here and there. He could be a top 3 wide receiver. He has that potential upside, and you're getting him in that 5-6 range. Again, it's the injury scares you off from taking him earlier, but there's a potential for him to have, like I said, if someone was going to, he has that talent to have close to enough to be a Cooper Kupp season we saw last year. It's just that if he can stay healthy and put it all together.
So, got no argument here.
You got to outshine John like that. I was like, damn, Brooklyn's good. And I was like, Mike Williams is even better.
But he's the same quarterback, same offense. So it's a little old school. All right.
Familiarity.
So over to the James Conner comp. Basically a running back that, you know, his patient, people are down on. They're kind of just like, whatever anymore. And comes back to life and surprises all of us. Obviously, that's kind of what James Conner did last year. Afterthought. And came up and was like an RB1 last season. So, Coach John, I'll let you go first on this one. Who is your James Conner comp?
So, the James Conner comp to me is a good one because this is who is a running back that is switching teams, who's a running back that is left for dead and finds some success and gets another contract, gets a second chance. I don't know if there's really any running backs in my mind that fit that bill, but there is one running back that didn't change teams but is fighting for a new contract, is going to be left for dead. It's Devin Singletary. To me is someone who is, look, he's on a ridiculous offense. Ended the season really strong last season. They drafted him. This is, you know, I understand they drafted James Cook to come in and alleviate some roles, but that's more geared towards Zach Moss and everything else that they, Matt Burita, everyone else that they were throwing out there. No one is ever going to get 100% of the work. Devin Singletary's not built that way. But he's built to, you know, handle enough. You know, he's built to handle 15, 16 touches in this backfield. And in an offense that we're predicting to be really freaking good and score a lot of points, give me the starting running back there. So I don't know if a rookie in James Cook is just going to come in and dominate. So I think there is going to be a world where we see Devin Singletary, the lead back for the Buffalo Bills for a majority of this season, play well, you know, run hard, do his thing, and earn himself another contract, earn himself another chance, whether it's with Buffalo or somewhere else. I think this is a big year for him. So, you know, my answer is Devin Singletary. I don't know if, he has the same, he's just not that goal line grinding muscle like James Conner's, like fell into whatever 15 plus touchdowns. I don't know if Devin Singletary has that ability to him, but if I'm going to bet on any running back to, you know, outperform their ADP in that dead zone, it's probably the guy who's on the, what's going to be the number one offense in the league.
Yeah. I did not expect that when you were talking to this guy up. I was like, oh, I know who it is. And I was like, ooh, all right.
I threw a curveball.
People are down on Singletary now because of James Cook right now. And obviously James Cook is right now having a pretty good beginning of training camp without pads. So, it's going to even help his case more that people are kind of slowly bringing down Devin Singletary, even though he's getting the first team reps still. So let's bring that there. But no, I like that one there, John. I like that there a lot. Jibs.
Hello.
What are you, my friend? What do we got?
Okay. I wanted to go with a tandem, but more in particular, just to name one person, it's going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He kind of fits the comp perfectly. He's James Conner. He gets hurt. Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets hurt. So they played on good offenses. And, like, maybe this is the year he all puts together. Like, I'm not going to go out and vouch on his name and put my name on that either. But, like, this is a hypothetical situation. And, like, we know, like, he's going as RB28 right now in half PPR fantasy formats. And then we know he has a ceiling of RB22, which he did his rookie year. So you give that rookie year, he didn't know anything. He's playing trying to get acclimated to the NFL. Last year was kind of a wash. He missed 5 games due to various injuries. And we know that he's not going to get the lion's share, just like Devin Singletary. But, like, I know one thing. Ronald Jones, he ain't catching no footballs. He got brick hands. So that kind of – I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't a plus in the passing game, but that kind of makes me think, like, he'll kind of keep what he had and maybe get a little bit more. But, like, other than that, like, unless – Jared McKinnon takes a huge role in the passing game, I could see Clyde Edwards-Helaire being a decent running back this year and be able to beat that RB28 projection, maybe finish as a middle tier RB2 if everything goes right. And the same case could go for Ronald Jones too, if you want to snag him later on and then hope for the best. Hey brother, I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, I like that one. I think there's potential there still, sure. And I think that's why, like I said, I'm down on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he's the exact type of player that people are down on that could surprise a lot of people if things work in his favor this coming season here. So
he's an enigma in the fantasy community.
Oh, dude. Like, he's, yeah.
Top really tier. Like, most wanted. Yeah.
All right. So for my James Conner comp, I went with, and this is John, who I thought you were going to go with, Miles Sanders.
Oh, and that's a good one, too.
The way Miles Sanders works is that he's not changing teams, but he's been a guy who's been kind of injury prone, kind of what James Conner has been labeled at early on in his career. Even he still got hurt last year. But the way I see it is that, like, if Miles Sanders can do what James Conner does, stay healthy, then Miles Sanders is going to have a great season. But no one wants to draft Miles Sanders right now. They're all like, oh, we don't really want to deal with him. You know, he's injured. There's the committee backfield, but he still leads that committee. At the end of the day, he's the best running, pure running back on that team. Maybe he doesn't see as much involved in the passing game, which definitely hurt. We don't know what the red zone looks going to look like, but if he can stay healthy for 17 games this season and his 5 yards per carry average that he has over his career, I mean, he has a big opportunity. And this offense, the Eagles, are going to be supposed to be better. You bring A.J. Brown in, you're hoping that Jalen Hurts takes another step. There has to be more opportunities for scoring this year. And then Miles Sanders is going to hopefully get that opportunity this year. But no one is worrying about Miles Sanders this year. He's just kind of a starter that's there, but we don't really want to deal with him. But we know he's talented, but we know he's going to get hurt, whatever it may be. And I think that's my comp this to James Conner this year.
I almost had Miles Sanders as my toughest player to evaluate. I really did. And then, cause his variance is huge. I mean, he could be a top 10 guy with that offense and what he was doing towards the end of last season, with the lack of touchdowns, but still getting, you know, 15 to 20 points a game. It's like, that's crazy. You know, what he was doing between the 20s was nuts. And so if he can stay healthy and the touchdowns fall his way, which easily could, yeah, he could easily have a monster like James Conner type season.
All right, so over to the next set here, the Kenny G comp, Kenny Galladay, New York Giant, basically a veteran wide receiver who completely just shits the bed. I know he was injured for a few games, but the games he did play, and he played, I think, like 10 or 12 games still, played a good amount of games. This was completely terrible. And so mostly it's just a wide receiver, veteran wide receiver, of course, not rookie, that just completely just has a terrible season where we're just like, he gets dropped by midseason. So, Coach Gibbs, you get first on this one, my friend.
I didn't know you were going that. Dropping,
that like, that was whatever. He doesn't get dropped, but like, you're just never going to want to play him. He's just like, why'd I draft this guy?
Okay, I'll give it a.
He just disappoints. Whatever. He disappoints. I'll sugarcoat it. He disappoints.
Okay. So off of name value last year, I'm going to go with Hunter Renfrow. And I know he's Derek Carr's most reliable weapon. And he finished as a top 12 wide receiver in PPR leagues last year. But for me, I just can't see with the Madden Davante Adams. And then you have a healthy Waller returning. So you know, like, all the target shares and all this stuff is going to get mumbo jumbo. So, like, in my worst case scenario, I wouldn't be surprised if he lost 30 targets at the least, 20 to 30. And like, that'll definitely nail down his production. Like, he's going as a wide receiver, high end wide receiver, three in fantasy drafts. And like, if the community is that low on him, like, I don't think he'll have a consistent, he won't be consistent on a week to week basis unless you play in first points for first down league. But I don't think that many people do with that. So I don't know. I'm a little skeptical on Hunter Renfrow.
Okay. Yeah. Same. I just don't know how the target share is going to go with that, especially if Waller's back now and healthy, and Davante Adams is there and healthy. Now, they all three. I don't expect all three to have 100 targets this season. So someone has to take a back seat, and it very much could be Hunter Renfrow. So.
Yeah, I don't see the touchdowns going Hunter Renfrow's way when you have Davante Adams and Darren Waller in the red zone. I just don't see that many touchdowns going Renfrow's way. So I could see that being a tough sell.
Yeah, like 700 yards and two touchdowns definitely won't live up to what we're expecting, I think, out of Hunter Renfrow.
And that is such a that's such a realistic stat line for him. Yeah, that's such a realistic,
really much.
You know, 700 for 3 and 3 is so in the realm of possibility.
Which would very much suck. So. Yeah, it would suck. John, over to you, my friend. What is your Kenny G comp?
So I had two. I had one that I didn't think was fair. I'm going to mention it. I'm going to mention Robert Woods. I don't think that's a fair – because I don't know if there was – if is much hype around Robert Woods this season as there was for Kenny G last season. But I don't know if Robert Woods is really going to – you know, you're not drafting him high, so I get it's like kind of a throwaway pick, so why not take your chance? But – I just don't see a lot left in the tank for Robert Woods and him really having this like back half of a career resurgence with Tennessee, whose offense probably isn't going to pass a lot and is going to run through Derrick Henry. So that was my easy like cheat answer. Then I thought about it more. My more realistic answer is Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson's going to have a tough change in team. You know, this idea of these changing teams, and he was sandbagging in Chicago so that he could get let out of town. It's like, I have a feeling he's a pro athlete that is still going to try his damn when he's on the field. And so you want to tell me, oh, he was sandbagging all last year so that they let him go. It's like, so he's all of a sudden going to come to LA and just become a superstar. And it's like, I just don't know if that's really what Allen Robinson is. I think Allen Robinson is going to go there and be a good complimentary piece. He's going to, you know, help out the role that Odell Beckham left. But Van Jefferson's still there. Van Jefferson's going to take a step forward. Cooper Kupp warrants, you know, a million targets. So it's not like they're going to go away from him. And people are talking about Allen Robinson like he's going to have this huge breakout year with Matt Stafford. And I just don't see it. I think he could be a good piece. I think he's a good NFL player. But, you know, wide receiver 3, like, why is everyone getting so excited about this? Like, what should be a middling wide receiver 3? And it's like all this hype around him that he's going to, you know, be a big, big asset in fantasy. I just don't see it. And so I think he's one that I don't know if he completely shits the bed, but I think we need to temper our expectations of what Allen Robinson is at this point in his career and what he's walking into. He's not going to be a 1200 yard and 10 touchdown guy. It's just, I don't see that happening.
Okay. I definitely like that one a lot there. I think that I think with Allen Robinson, it's like there's this tremendous upside, but then there's just tremendous, like, is he what he is anymore? Is it, we've seen the best out of him. So,
I mean, at the end of the season, Van Jefferson could out. What if the end of the season, Van Jefferson out targets him? I mean, it's like not unrealistic. Like, it could happen. And even if we want to crown him the wide receiver 2 on the team, but they start, you know, throwing to the young guy and doing all this. Like, I just don't know really how quick we are to just be like, oh, yeah, Allen Robinson's great. He's been great. And it's like, okay, well, he's also older in his career. He looked like shit last season. And so, you know, there could be some decline. There really could be.
I like it. All right. So over to mine, like, this was hard for me, honestly. I really couldn't think of really one I really liked. But I guess I'm just going to go with a guy who I think could disappoint a lot of people this year. And again, I don't know. He's wide receiver 40 right now overall ADP, as wide receiver, not overall. So Brandon Ayuk is the guy I want to bring up here. I don't know. He's a veteran now. He's not a young guy anymore. He's still young, but he's a 30. He's going to his 30 year now at this point. And a lot of people are hyping up the Trey Lance. And I don't know if people are seeing like, oh, let me get the passing offense of this team because Trey Lance got the big arm. He's going to open up the offense, blah, 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 blah. But Brandon Ayuk, I think, could end up being a disappointment to a lot of fantasy owners this year because I don't believe Trey Lance is going to have this just Patrick Mahomes year 2 season where he just blows up 50 touchdowns, 4,500 yards. You know, I think there are some issues that if Trey Lance and it struggles early and Jimmy G's still there, they'll switch back. That's what I'm concerned about. And I think this team still runs through Deebo Samuels and George Kittle and the running game. And I think Brandon Ayuk gets left for the dust there. And I think people are like, oh, if I get Brandon Ayuk as my wide receiver 3 or 4, like I'm golden. Like he's got that upside, but I think he's someone who can end up, you know, getting like 500 yards for the season here and kind of disappointing a lot of fantasy owners having him on your team that you're not going to even want to like start him most weeks. So again, it, to me, it wasn't the best comp, but that's a guy that I'm kind of down on. So I wanted to mention Brandon Ayuk there.
Yeah. Good one.
So yeah, not the best one. So, all right, over to the next one, the Adam Trautman comp. Basically, if you guys remember Adam Trautman last year, everyone loved him. He was getting hyped up like crazy. People loved him. And he kind of didn't really live up to the standard we wanted in year two. Again, there's some hype this year. Maybe here, one of us will bring him up again. But who is a young tight end currently that people are hyping up right now that won't just live up to that hype? Coach John?
The name I came up with was Irv Smith. I think there's a lot of hype around Irv Smith. There's a lot of hype around this Vikings offense, which I understand and I get and I totally appreciate. But you know, I think for a tight end to truly break out, he needs to be more than just like the fourth or fifth option on his team. You know, I think that it's Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, you know, KJ Osborne. They still have Adam Thielen. It's like it's going to take a lot. It's going to take some injuries to happen. It's going to take a lot of things to bounce right. It's just not this lock that Irv Smith is just going to walk into, you know, 80 targets, 90 targets as a tight end. I just don't know if that exists. Now, will he have weeks? Because he's an athletic guy and will get touchdowns. Yeah, he'll certainly have weeks, but I don't know if he's going to lock into this like must start tight end and take this leap that everyone's sort of talking about. I really do think they're going to spread this ball around. They're going to spread it, you know, to every Justin Jefferson's going to get as much as he can possibly handle. They're going to throw the ball to him a million times. So it's just not much left in that offense to really go Irv Smith's way. I just worry that we're hyping up, and I get it. Everyone wants to find that next late round tight end because, you know, you just do. You got to try and hit somewhere, but I just don't know if there's a path without injuries and other things going his way. I don't know if there's a path for Irv Smith to be like the number two target on this team, number three target on this team.
Yeah, no, that is a great one, to be honest there. I mean, I think there's a ton of upside for Irv Smith, but we just don't know what order of the pecking order he's going to get targets. And that's a big thing. So there's upside, but yeah, there's some concerns for sure. I like that one there a lot. Coach Gibbs.
I'm going to go with the guy I talked about last week, actually. It could be Albert O this year. Like he's one of my sleepers or some guy I feel comfortable getting a late round pick, but like the same similarity to Irv Smith, he's in a little offense as well. Like he could be the fourth fiddle behind the two running backs and the two wide receivers, all I know. And they still like to use two tight end sets. So maybe historically they did, but like, you never know with this new regime in here. And obviously touchdowns are going to come into being a big thing for Alberto, and hey, it could be boom or bust, but at the range you're getting him, like it's pretty much what I'm going to be talking about later. Just shoot for some upside, like not going to hurt you, especially if you're if you have like a pre-filled in the position, or you're going to get two of the tight ends later on.
That was mine, Jib. So I do like that one a lot there too. There's definitely concerns for me, Alberto, even though I do like him. There's definitely concerns overall, you know. I mean, there's so many mouths to feed. You know, the backup tight end, Greg
Deltridge.
I think it's Deltridge. You know, people are liking him a lot in camp apparently already. Oh, mini camp it was, not even training camp yet. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I like that one there. So it doesn't leave a lot of young tight ends left. There's a couple. So I'm just going to go Pat Freiermuth here. I mean, Pat Freiermuth, I love Pat Freiermuth. He was great last year, but he's very touchdown dependent. I just don't know who's going to play quarterback. That's a major concern for me with Pat Freiermuth. And is he going to be the reliable target that these quarterbacks are going to want? Because obviously Big Ben thought that. Big Ben loved him in the red zone. That's why he was really good in fantasy, because he was had a high touchdown rate. This coming season, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we don't know who's going to be the main target leader. Maybe it's Pat Freiermuth. And that's why I think people still like him, because they're going off last year. In the same sense, you know, you have Deontay Johnson, you have, you know, George Pickens there now. You had Chase Claypool already sitting there. I mean, you have Najee Harris in the backfield. So you just don't know who's going to see that target majority. And if he doesn't get those touchdowns again, he might end up with, he might end up with 500 yards. But again, same situation. He might end up with two or three touchdowns instead of, I think, the six or seven he had last year. So that's a major difference in fantasy points right there for a tight end. That turns you from a low-end tight end one to a middle-end tight end two, which no one wants a middle-end tight end two in fantasy. So that's the guy I'm going to go with here.
That's a good one.
All right. So over to our last set of player comps. The Javonte Williams comp, basically a running back, a rookie running back who produces pretty well this year and that we're going to end up talking about a lot next offseason because obviously we love the talent. So, Coach Gibbs, who is your Javonte Williams comp?
Nah, it's going to be your man, your boy, Kenneth Walker next year. And, like, you just look at the roster, man. They got Dallas. They have Rashad Penny, who they didn't even re-up on his contract, who's been under their belt for 4 or 5 years. They just see, like, the writing's on the wall for Penny, in my estimation. And the Seahawks are going to do what they do. They're going to run the ball. And they're going to run Penny out of the building. And then they're going to set up Ken Walker there to be his successor. So, like, this year, like, obviously, like, it's – I know it's John's boy, Rashad Penny. I'm sorry, I'm busting on him, but like,
you're allowed. My answer is Ken Walker too, for the record.
I like both players, and I think they're both going to be productive, even if Walker's going to be in a backup role, getting the mop up duties. But there's going to be a point where Penny might get hurt. Historically, it's probably high, and Kenneth Walker's going to be that guy, and he's going to be rolling, and we're going to all be drooling over next year when he's the main RB1 in town. So the easy pick, and I had first. I'm sorry, is Ken Walker.
That sucks being the third pick of these groups. I never get what I want. Yeah, I love that one. Obviously, Jibs, it was clearly my pick there. So I love that take a lot for sure.
Mm-hmm.
John?
Yeah, I had Kenneth Walker written down too, but I wrote down another name as well that I'm going to talk about. But I think Ken Walker is just like the most – it's just so perfect, this Javonte Williams comp. He, you know, walks into a team. There's already an incumbent there. It's in next year, you're going to talk about him like crazy. So I think that's a good one. The other one I wanted to bring up was Tyler Allgeier. I think Tyler Allgeier is someone who, you know, could get a little bit of work in a middling offense that kind of sucks, but, you know, you see some flashes. He does some big plays and does what you like. But then next year, they get an upgrade at quarterback. Calvin Ridley comes back, you know, Drake London year two, and then the team commits and says, you know what, we're going to go with Tyler Allgeier. And all of a sudden he's like locked into what should be a good offense and have his role and all these other things. So I think Tyler Allgeier is a name that's going to rise a lot in season throughout the year. And then next year, we're talking about him the same way we talked about, I don't know, James Robinson or any of these other guys that kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, there was an Atlanta beat reporter said that he is possibly in line now for the starting role. So we will see how that goes for Tyler Allgeier. Definitely like that one as well. My rookie guy is Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. And there's a situation, I think, this season where Brian Robinson starts getting more work during the middle of the season here because they're not trying to overwork Antonio Gibson, or he gets hurt, which it's very possible he gets hurt. And Brian Robinson just comes in and just dominates and just shows what he can do to be the big 6'4", 250 running back in this NFL. And by the end of the season, we could be talking about him next year and being the running back to own in Washington over Antonio Gibson because of his upside, his versatility on the offense, and his just big frame that people just want in fantasy, that they're hoping that he could be their bell cow while Antonio Gibson falls into that backup role, which would be crazy. But there's a real potential that ends up happening this year. So that's why I'm going with Brian Robinson.
That's a good one.
Thank you. So over to the last player comp of the night, the DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett comp, pair of wide receivers who finished the top 15 in fantasy this year. Coach John, you get first crack at it, man.
Oh, man. Okay. So I had two duos that, but I'm going to stick with my theme on today's episode, which is I really like Courtland Sutton. So I'm going to say Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I think that comp is just one of the ones that both guys could easily finish top 15. You know, if they let Russ cook and Denver, you know, does what they do and you know, they start chucking the rock 500 times in a season, and I think we could have big things out of both players, you know, and with Sutton being the DK and Jerry Jeudy being the Lockett. And, you know, you have, you know, that exact sort of duo, that dynamic tandem again, where big body, physical receiver, and then you have this shifty route running electric playmaker. So, you know, a lot has to go right for a team to have two guys in the top 15. That offense better be potent. So, you know, I think it can happen. I really do. I think that Russ is that type of generational talent that he can come in and just command an offense. So I'm really laying my eggs in that basket in this in this Denver basket today. But that's my comp.
All right. I like that one there a lot. Obviously, the Denver core has a ton of potential to be a top duo in this wide receiver this season. So I like that one a lot. Coach Jibs, my friend, over to you, buddy.
I'll let you guess who I'm, you know, you already know where I'm going, Steve.
It's the Bengals.
Probably not. Oh, no, you can have that. It's easy. I'm going to go with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams.
That was the other one I had on my list.
That was the one I had.
Basically, you listened to a couple episodes back. Keenan Allen basically always finishes like top 15. So you already got like a shoe in there. Hopefully his age doesn't come to fruition. But I think in my wholehearted, he definitely will be top 15 this year. But Mike Williams, interesting case. He was one of your guys that you liked earlier on, Steve. And, like, I totally agree with all the points you had there. But, like, one thing I did dig up was, like, so Keenan Allen, you want to know his red zone target to completion from last year? This man was on fire. He had 27 targets and completed 20 receptions. Five touchdowns, basically 25% target share. But Mike Williams, he had 22 targets. He only caught 7 red zone receptions, right? That's a paltry 31%. I think if he could work on those numbers, boost some of those efficiencies and or deficiencies in like the fade routes that he typically gets from Justin Herbert, I think he has room to improve there and improve on his touchdowns a little, or at least keep it the same where he did finish as a top 11, I think 11 in PPR last year. So I think if he improves on his red zone efficiency numbers, which probably will happen, I think he's going to be right where he was last year, and they both will be top 15.
It's a great one.
Well, that was mine. So obviously I love that there. It makes total sense. Obviously both these guys are tremendously talented and has Justin Herbert as their quarterback. They don't have a tight end that's threatening, and Austin Eckler's targets could come down just to kind of keep him healthy. So I mean, there's no real third wide receiver just yet. Maybe Joshua Palmer gets there, maybe Jalen Guyton, but none of them are really established enough to take enough targets away from both these guys. So, all right. Well, obviously, I think the easy answer is obviously Chase and Higgins. Obviously, it's just too easy, but I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to give you guys someone that's actually fun to talk about, because obviously that's like the post childs of the top 15 this year. I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis. Now, let me tell you what DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett did last year. DK Metcalf had 967 yards and 12 touchdowns. Sounds like something that Gabriel Davis could do very easily. Tyler Lockett had 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. Again, something that Stephon Diggs could do very easily. And Josh Allen loves to throw the football. I'm not buying that James Cook going to have 70 reception targets in his first season. Just not going to happen. They don't really have a third wide receiver that I'm threatened by. I'm not threatened by Jamison Crowder just yet. I mean, man gets injured every year. Dawson Knox, yeah. But they continue to bring in more tight ends to kind of compete with him, or maybe possibly keep him off the field, because O.J. Howard is not the best blocking tight end in the league. He was a great receiving tight end. So with me, I think the way that Josh Allen plays, throws the ball deep. Both Stephon Diggs is going to be wide receiver one already, and we're all talking about Gabriel Davis right now, ascending to that next level. 900 yards and 12 touchdowns sounds pretty doable for Gabriel Davis this season. So for me, that's the duo I'm going to go with. Just top 15, not even top 12, top 15 this season.
That's a good duo. I mean, I think at this point, the way we're drafting Gabriel Davis, he better finish in that top 15. The way we're drafting him is crazy, but I do love that duo. It is one of the more, again, you're in a super pass happy offense. There's no reason why both guys can't, you know, eclipse 1,000 yards and have a ton of touchdowns. So no, it's a good one. It's a good pick.
Thank you. All right. So we are going to skip the dynasty buy lows. We're going to do that next week. I promise you guys we'll do it. We're going to get to Jibs's final area, the draft strategies, because we're hitting that hour mark here. So, Jibs, my friend, the floor is now yours. Coach John's gone already. You're now up.
Okay, just to elaborate on. Well, I haven't really gotten too in-depth, but, like, this year, one thing I started to do is make draft tiers of my own rankings, so I know to get – I have a selection of players I like where I'm going to pick in a certain area in the draft, and I'll have them ordered so I'm not the jackass who's waiting or taking every little second off the clock and putting this to pick in with, like, 10 seconds left. You know what I'm saying? So at least you'll have – with this – with the tier-based, like, drafting, at least you'll know – relative players that you like, that you can work with, and you won't have to go through the queue, go here, go there. And then it kind of also helps you if you, one thing I like to do is watch what my opponents, who I'm drafting nearby, have. So if the owner has already drafted two wide receivers, I'm in a three wide receiver league, I'm going to assume he's probably going to go on and get that running back. If he doesn't, well, hey, tough luck. I'm going to get the running back before him. But, like, I'm not also going to, like, just, like, take players just because I think the opponent's going to get them. So, like, sometimes it's good to bounce or zag when they're zigging. So just look at what the opponents have when you're drafting, and obviously shoot for upside later. Stop getting these snails. They ain't going to do nothing, like your freaking Darius Slaytons, especially, like, in deeper roster leagues. So, like, just shoot for the rookie. If nothing happens, you're going to pick up the first hot ad on the waiver wire in week one anyway. So, like, that's what my approach is.
All right. I like it. I like it a lot. Hopefully me and Jibs are in a very draft very similarly. So we do not like drafting near each other. We try to avoid that as much as possible because it is definitely not good for either one of our strategies. But I will talk about mine at some point before the redraft season gets in the start. So that is going to wrap us up tonight, guys. There's a couple things we want to go over. Oh, Jibs, you have something else to say?
Don't let anyone live rent-free in your head. That's the big one.
Yeah, 100%.
I like it. I love that a lot there. So we do have a few things I want to go over before we end the show. That's kind of why we skipped the dynasty portion here, because there's a lot to go through here, guys. So obviously, there's a couple big things going up on the horizon here now. We have our Secret Play Charity Bowl that's beginning to continue to add signups. We've got 2 weeks left, guys. So if you want to sign up for this great charity, it's for the Humane Society, please do so. We already got people talking in the one chat, one league we've already set up so far. We have hopefully a couple more we'll like to do this year. It's a great cause. A lot of people have a lot of fun. The concept is really cool and exciting, so we'd appreciate if you'd love to sign up. We'd love that. Of course, coming up August 16th, we're having our charity pot-a-thon. It's going to go from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. We have a bunch of different people jumping on. A bunch of the guys here are going to jump on throughout the day here and there when they can. I'll be on for most of the day. I will be taking a break at some point this year compared to last year. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope raise money for the Humane Society and obviously talk about fantasy. And we're doing a little different this year. We're going to have some make it more fun and exciting. So please tune in August 16th. I'll bring it up again. And of course, in August, guys, we're switching to our two-a-days. Just like you would do in high school two-a-day football. Well, not two-a-days a day, but twice a week. Every Monday and Thursday, we will be podcasting. To some extent, we're getting into a lot of the tier situation we're going to be talking about over the next month here. This coming Monday, we won't be on. Me and Coach Jibs will be flying back from Nashville, watching the Titans maybe play football, maybe, who knows. But we'll be back the following – what are you thinking? But we'll be back that following Thursday to start doing RB tiers. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have a few guests for the month of August here, but we will be with you guys twice a week from now until the end of December. Football's back, guys. And of course, John, I'll let you say anything you'd like to mention right now, my friend.
I got nothing. This was a beautiful Monday talking comps, player comps, and projecting players in the future, which is so much fun and I love doing. So I'm excited for two-a-days. I'm excited for the season to get going. Follow me at FTLS_JBats. I'm always DMs open. You can ask me a million questions. I'm here to help you through your draft. I'm here to help you learn fantasy and have fun. So that's the only message I got for the people.
Love it, love it, love it. And Coach Jibs.
No Titans mini camp.
We probably won't be a Titan. You see Ryan Tannehill out there. I'll take a shot with him. Maybe we'll take a shot with me. That'd be awesome. That'd be cool. But yeah, there's really nothing else left to say. As always, please go check out our website, www.thefantasycoaches.com. I got articles popping up here and there, rankings, these podcasts, the Dynasty Coaches are on there as well. Some other things, our playbook stats are on there for sure. And then always, please go follow us on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy for all of our updates and content that we post up there. So until next time, guys, thanks for listening. And have a...
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kents. I've been feeling super-duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like Zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. Listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing that, go.